Welcome to War and Gender Studies 101. My name is Starflower. You can call me Star. Before we begin, I just want to let you all know that this is a safe place. And if you feel threatened in any way, please raise your hand and we'll make sure to attend to your needs. I am not just your teacher here. I'm here to learn from you as much as you're here to learn from me.
Thank you, Star. I feel so safe.
Okay, but if she's a student also, then why the fuck are we here? I can
bring Fluffy, my service animal, into class.
I have a question. Are we just going to ignore the spider monkey and the fact that he's throwing feces all over the place?
Excuse me, point of personal privilege. No gender pronouns, please.
Okay, peers, students, we're going to study LGBTQ in World War II.
Professor, what book are you referencing? Like, what page?
Please, we're all equals here. Textbooks, references, no. That is a construct of the patriarchy. We are going to feel our way through history.
God damn it. I was waterboarded for fuck's sake. While Star pulls her head out of her ass, I just want to thank you for subscribing to the show. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Search for The Salty Show. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. Now back to wasting my GI Bill. Enjoy the show.
Theory aspect postmodernism on gender studies was most prominent in its challenging of grand narratives. Post-structuralism.
Guess what? It's another week in the books. What's going on, everybody? What's up, Mrs. Rachel?
Oh, hey, I am Tim today.
Oh, you got jokes.
I'm going to say some damn things.
Okay.
Hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. It's Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, what's up, Mr. Sully Saul? What do you got for us today?
Yo. Wow, we have a full house today. A lot of wild stuff going on the show. But what we're going to bring you today on The Salty Show, Los Angeles has fallen. A new documentary shows the growing epidemic being ignored by local politicians, the return of 18th century diseases that is causing alarm to many homeless communities. Next, the crazies are now running the insane asylum known as the liberal wing of politics. This week on their list of things that should be banned, urinals, because they're
sexist.
They're dangerous and divisive and have no place in restrooms, right? Also on the list is the okay hand gesture. Right.
This. Don't point that at me.
Because nothing oppresses people more than the idea of letting them know how good of a job they're doing. You're doing okay.
Just okay.
You're not amazing. You're not bad. You're just okay.
You're supposed to go.
I don't know. T-Rex arms. I don't know.
All that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Heidi, what's going on in the headlines? Give it to us.
Nothing.
What?
What?
I did not see this coming.
Fail.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're not going to do this the whole show, are you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Whiskers. We got two Tims today.
I love it. I get to look at the prettiest of the Tims straight in front of me. Like,
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Beauty.
Yeah, I mean, I can start making fun of her and I'm not.
All right, here we go. So I freaking fell in love with Ellen DeGeneres this week.
Yo.
Shout out to everybody about, come on.
About what?
President Bush.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Dallas game.
Right, well, I have something to say about that, but go ahead. Give the news on that.
Whatever. So she publicly had to forgive her time of enjoying her friend's company.
Yeah.
And people were criticizing on both sides of it. And I'm like, you know.
So what did she say exactly?
All right. Well, of course, you're asking that first.
So, was she friends with Bush?
Yeah. So
she's friends with President Bush, yeah. And they caught her smile. So there were liberals that were upset because she was having fun with a Republican president.
Yeah, right.
And what kind of, basically, like what kind of lesbian liberal,
yeah.
Movie or actress or whatever, yeah. A comedian would stoop to such a level? So she comes back and she's like, you know, first of all, I have friends. So yeah. What? They have different beliefs. They have yeah. different feelings. They have different whatever. There's nothing wrong with me enjoying whoever it is that I'm out there yeah. with. And
that's
whatever.
A beautiful statement.
Yeah.
But she's a hypocrite because when asked if she would ever have Trump on her show, she said, oh, hell no.
But she's not friends with him.
Okay, but.
But what I'm saying is either way, it's like she's being criticized. She's being praised for being inclusive. But the problem is that, no, you're not, because you won't have a certain somebody who you disagree with on the show. So she's getting praised for being inclusive, but she really isn't.
So she's friends with President Bush. If she's not friends with Trump, I don't like everybody that I hang out with. And I don't hang out with the people I don't like. It doesn't mean that she can't have that opinion and that view, that she doesn't care for him.
I don't think that's what she said. So let me go to what she said.
Okay, so it says, Ellen has a positive message for anyone who has perplexed, oh my God, to see that she spent an afternoon with George W. and Laura Bush at the Dallas Cowboys game on Sunday. And then she goes, addressed the event, which sent Twitter into a tizzy the next day. I read exactly what she was saying, so if you want me to read it as she reads it, or do you want to put it up there? And
yeah.
There you go.
So, no, I'm just going to show... I'm showing the video where she says she wouldn't have Trump on the show.
Definitely. I mean, I would not say no to the sitting president of the United States.
Really? Absolutely not. Would you?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that she wants to get praised for being inclusive, but she's really not. You know what I mean? Like, she was inclusive. Half of America loves Trump. So by her not having her on her show, you're not really inclusive. So it's fake praise. Anyways, go ahead. What was your next? I don't want
to
take it.
We'll agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with that one too. So, holy shit. Paul Peterson. Do you know who Paul Peterson is?
No.
He's Maricopa County's assessor's representative.
Okay.
So we voted him into office to represent Maricopa County. He is right now being indicted in 3 states.
Oof. For what?
He cleared out his office.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So he was arrested this week after a state grand jury indicted him on 32 counts of fraudulent schemes, conspiracy, theft, and forgery. Who was the guy that committed suicide in jail because had
Epstein.
Epstein. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he's tied to the Epstein thing.
Oh.
Wow.
He brought back pregnant girls, had babies delivered, and then the babies disappeared.
See, that whole Epstein thing, there's still a lot of stuff.
Let me make sure I say it. Okay, so it says Arizona. He's the attorney general's office. The attorney general's office alleges Peterson illegally arranged for 28 pregnant women.
Wow.
To fly to Arizona, live in the houses he owns, and deliver their babies paid for by the state's Medicare system before placing them into adoption.
Of course.
Well, haven't you guys ever heard about like the whole Larry King thing that happened? Like, I want to say like the early 80s. Well, not Larry King, like the guy that you know, but it was like this guy that owned a bank in, I want to say Oklahoma, but he had like a whole like child sex ring, and it was linked to the government and like... It's hard to explain like in a short period of time, but basically like it was super similar, like all the crap that was going on at that scene. And I feel like he got suicided too.
He got suicided.
Is that what we're calling it now? You got suicided.
You know exactly. Yeah, that's what happens when the government kills you. Yeah. You get suicided.
You get suicided
when you know too much.
Yeah.
You don't PESCO. No. You get suicided.
Yeah. But it's like this whole like power thing that like, a lot of people that are higher up in the government have, because then you have power over other people as well, because then you could release something to the masses and you can basically like blackmail other people of power. And it's like this weird fucked up thing.
Oh, wow.
It's a whole confusing thing. Yeah. Maybe next week I'll do that in the crazy parts.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good news.
Cause it's kind of crazy.
I guess I just didn't realize that there was so much.
Oh,
I mean, like, come on. You know, first of all,
yeah.
You know, there's messed up stuff
you gotta
out
remember,
there, but
yeah. any
most people that are involved in politics, good luck trying to find any politician that has no dirt on them. They're all a little crooked. Yeah, you wind up getting crooked being in those positions. I'm sorry. It is what it is. No, you got caught.
Power corrupts.
Yeah. All right. I've got one more.
Cool. Let's go.
Do you know who Walter Heyer is?
Nope. No. Heyer, tell us Heyer. Who Walter Heyer.
So Walter Heyer, and I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, H-E-Y-E-R, lived 8 years as a woman.
Okay.
Okay. Before he realized that he was a victim of child abuse and went through a detransitioning period to go back to becoming the man that he was born as. And he's speaking out against the trend right now that we have going on of picking genders. Oh,
we're going to talk
about
that.
So it feeds, that's what I was going to say, so it kind of feeds. So he met with Candace Owens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they were, that's how I, and they she did an interview with him, but he's like made it his life's mission to talk about his story and what happened and how
that's a form
not
of
everybody,
abuse.
Not, well, and not everybody really, like, some things happen to people that they don't know is happening or has happened. And so it, that was an, I found that to be very interesting, and it'll feed into your urinal and whatever.
No, I mean, and then there's, there was also another one where a 9-year-old transgendered. So Democratic Party had a gender summit. I don't know what they called it, but
you saw that with Beto O'Rourke?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
So, and there's a child asking a question. I'm going to show you this video. A 9-year-old child who says he's transgendered. And we'll talk about that. We have a whole segment on I've called it "The Left Has Lost Its Mind." But go ahead.
Basically, it caused her to go into it a little bit further, and she talks about how there's a 19 times higher rate of suicide after transition. Wow. So you know, she just goes on to say, why aren't we looking really at what's going on with our world, and unfortunately.
Well, we'll talk about it right now. Was that all you had?
I just had the three.
Okay. All right. So I think the first topic that we want to get to, which is a documentary. Did you guys get to watch? Everybody watch it? No?
I did.
Yeah. You
did?
Okay. So I did. So the documentary Los Angeles Has Fallen. I'm going to let you introduce it to him, and then we'll discuss.
So, okay. So the article was posted through The Buzz, and I believe The Buzz is
Blaze.
I'm the sorry, Blaze, The Blaze. Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking the club in Scottsdale. So basically, on The Buzz, Blaze. The Blaze. Elijah Schaefer, has a show also, you know, interviews and stuff by Slightly Offensive. Really good stuff. He does. He's an independent reporter, right? I think he does lean a little bit more right, but he's going into the thick of things and actually reporting news, things that are happening right now. So you see him a lot doing a lot of the Antifa rallies and everything, and he's always getting maced, and he got hit in Minnesota on Wednesday. So he did this documentary where he goes to L.A. So what sparked all this was we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's a guy by Scott Pressler, he's a conservative activist who organized Americans Helping Americans clean up West Baltimore back in August.
Yep.
And he came back in September. And what happened was he went to L.A. for, I think, for a convention. He went to L.A. for something. And then as he's in L.A., they brought him to, you know, this area basically right by Skid Row. And it blew his mind. Like, it was just infested with a homeless camp. You have tents lined all the way up, garbage taking over the whole street. And this has been going on for about the residents of this homeless shelter. I've basically said that, this has been like 4 or 5 years with all this trash piling up. They've gone to the city. They've asked for the city to just drop off,
trash.
Yeah, the receptacles and all that. Yeah. So they could throw this out. Like, we will clean up. We will clean all this up, right? It got even down to the point where the city came out and tested the water, the LA River, the amount of fecal matter that's in there. Yeah. Like, people are shitting in it. Basically, this area of LA they're considering it basically medieval times. You know, everything that's going, you know, the the disease, the dead rats, that they found dead bodies.
Yeah, they're not even classifying it as third world conditions anymore. Yeah. They're saying it's medieval. It's even past third 18th world.
Yeah,
it's
like typhoid. Yeah, when they're throwing out diseases like typhoid.
Typhus.
That's like...
The bubonic plague.
Yeah, like you're throwing things out like that. I mean, and this is basically along the 405 freeway in L.A., one of the busiest areas in L.A., right? So he goes in and he's talking to some of the residents. I always call them residents because that's what they call themselves. And, a lot of them say, we're not looking for handouts or sympathy. Like, we know why we're here, and, we want to get help, but we don't know how to deal with it, right? And
one of the things that I kind of gleaned off the whole video was the lady that they were talking to, at least, She knew she had a problem, and she didn't want any help with her problem. She just wanted the city to show up and take care of the garbage.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, we need to fix the problem, not just take care of the garbage, right?
Right.
I mean, am I the only one that's thinking that?
Well, yeah, I get it. See, one of the things, when I saw the documentary, yes, I saw the rats, the infestation, the diseases, dude, the bugs. Oh, my God. Like, they're recording, and you see rats running.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your heart breaks for those people. It does. You know what I mean? Like, you do. Especially some of the things that they're saying. And it hasn't hit us. Part of that documentary talked about how there are, for the first time, people who are in their 50 years old, never been homeless, always held a job. For the first time in their life, they find themselves homeless.
Yeah.
Now, why? Part of it could be, I agree with you, Jeremy, part of it could be... the drug problem. There is a drug problem.
Yeah. What makes a 50-year-old man just or woman for that matter decide? You know what? I'm tired of living in this house.
Well,
I can't find a job in L.A. But I, God forbid, I move somewhere where.
See,
the
that's
jobs
the problem.
Let me,
they, if let they me, decide to move. Yeah. They can remediate. They can remedy the situation if they're not hooked on drugs. If you got to leave. If you can't afford
the
you have
drugs,
to leave.
Is the common denominator.
Yeah. And you're right. But I want to make a point that needs to be made, because in my opinion, this is something that the government contributes in, that
by failing to act
perpetuates. No, by acting too much. And let me lay out my thought here, because I actually had to write this down. So, liberal policies of compassion have made the problem of poverty worse, and they're now creating a crisis in cities across America, like Los Angeles, Detroit, Baltimore, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens is that they hike up taxes to fund government social programs, and then they'll pass laws increasing the minimum wage. We see this.
Yeah.
They'll justify all of it by saying that this is necessary in order for the citizenry to be able to afford the cost of living. But instead, what they end up doing is making it difficult for businesses to make profits, right? So the price of goods and services goes up, and unemployment also increases because businesses are forced to downsize when they can no longer afford to pay as many employees as they would like, right?
Right, yeah.
So I'm not talking about Fortune 500 companies like Apple, all those big companies. By the way, we're going to talk about this because Apple and all these other big, the NBA are pandering to China.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I want to make is that it's not huge companies. This is for small businesses that this is affecting. And so when unemployment goes up, and the price of goods and services also increases, you start getting citizens who can't afford essential goods. So what did they do? They seek government help. And you see where I'm going here, right? Mm-hmm. It's a nefarious nonstop cycle of politicians passing laws that create a citizenry dependent on guess who? The government. So that then the citizenry can vote for that politician who promises them more help. So it's a cycle, dude. They increase taxes, price of goods and service goes up, unemployment goes up, the cost of living goes up, and now you have people who, again, like you said, Jeremy, yes, I believe that a good big majority of these people have drug problems. But I believe that what has contributed to this is the government's willing to be helpful, but in the end, they're not. They're maintaining bad habits. And go ahead.
Okay, so outside of all that, when you're hearing the words from people, from the volunteers, it smells like death and you have to wear hazmat suits. Mm-hmm. This isn't a political issue anymore. This is a crisis, yeah. Right? This is a crisis that needs, this is beyond your Democrat, your Republican or anything. I understand you can always bring it back to politics. No, this is about people now. This is death, because now what happens is this spills over to your communities, not in this area. It goes to the next city or the next block, the next block. So now you are having disease.
How do we fight it, Tim? I'll tell you one thing that we don't give out free freaking needles.
No, I get you, that. Some of these policies.
I don't understand why the government is giving out free needles.
No, that's promoting.
Why aren't they doing things about people putting up tents on land that they don't belong
Clear
on?
Clear that
why,
stuff out.
Yeah, you can't do that
you
here.
You can't live here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that brings the point, and the last comment they said at the end, this is how they closed out the documentary, and this is something very, this is very true, right? Because these are the facts, right? These are numbers, right? So numbers can be skewed, but, you know, it is what it is. There are 500,000 homeless Americans. There are 50,000 homeless veterans. There are 3.6 million black children in poverty, 4 million Hispanic children in poverty, 4.2 million white children living in poverty. The biggest question that American people need to ask is why illegal immigrants prioritized over the needs of American citizens. Why are American citizens sleeping in these camps, sleeping on the streets, while illegal immigrants come first?
Yeah.
It's a very true statement, because what? I've seen other videos from people that have gone to Skid Row, and they're all like, yeah.
Right.
They got a guy from Venezuela flipping a sign. He's working, and he's telling the reporter in Spanish, he goes, this looks like Venezuela. He goes, this ain't the United States of America. He's coming over here, but, he's going over. He's got his housing. He's got his checks coming in. And one of the ladies that the guy interviewed, she was clean. She's like, I go to work. She's like, I can't afford any of this. She's like, I'm on a list for housing, but they're giving it to the illegals. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm sleeping in my car. And she's like, I go to work every day, collect the check, proving that I got all this. But, it is what it is. So what do? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you have to leave. Yeah. If you can't afford to live in your city, you have options. You can leave. There's work everywhere.
I think the problem is not that. I think the problem, like Jeremy says, it's a drug problem.
A lot of it is.
Even if you can find a job, they're not going to keep you around very long if you're...
I mean, that woman...
Well,
she's like,
I carried a job for a long time and it finally caught me. It got the best of me and here I am. And it's funny. It's not funny, but it's kind of sad because she's like, oh yeah, I'm with my dad. He's my best friend. They're both on the streets, living in this thing, getting high together. And it's like, oh, that's my best friend.
Right.
You feel, you got to have some empathy, right? Because you know what? Drugs isn't a racial thing. It's not a religious thing. It's an everybody thing, right? Mm-hmm. If Rachel takes a hit of crack, she's basically going to be gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or takes a shot of heroin, right? Mm-hmm. The addiction is so real. The addiction, we got our shit together, right? We got, it doesn't know a color. It's not a racist thing, right?
Right.
And when you look at people selling the drugs in the communities, it's your own people selling it to their own people, right? You go to the white projects.
Well, let me ask you this. You see white guys
selling it to white people. If you go to the black project, you see dudes on the street.
What can be done? Right, I know giving free needles is not it.
No,
that's definitely not it.
You're never going to solve a drug problem.
Fighting it but there's an epidemic and it's increasing. There's a 12% increase.
Yeah, but where did it start?
Every year.
So there's
59,000 homeless.
So think about
in California in that area. It's a 12% increase every year. Something is happening.
So we touched that. I think you might have brought this up a couple weeks ago, or one of you two I think brought it up. So when you think about it, in the 1980s, 70s and 80s, the way they got to the black community was crack, right?
The CIA did.
You've been watching Snowfall.
I don't even know what that is.
But it's about that. The CIA funding the war in Central South America with you know, through, mm-hmm. you know, selling crack, mm-hmm. you know, and in the States. But now, fast forward to, you know, now, what's the crisis? The opioid crisis. Mm-hmm. Who's the demographic?
That's prescribed.
Right, but they are targeting the suburban. When you look at a lot of these people that got caught up on the opiates on opiates, it's middle class people. Mm-hmm. So that's their way of shrinking. Right, you develop a drug problem. That's an easy way to shrink. And now you create a problem. Now I got to step in and hand you everything. Now I got you because you're looking for a drug. You're looking for a solution. I got you hung. You know, I got you strung out. But now I also got the cure. So now they're going to be looking, you know, and they're going to want to vote for that person. You know, so you can always bring it back to politics. But yeah, I fully feel that this whole thing is, you know, it was one way to get to the middle class. And it worked because this is the worst, I think, this is the worst epidemic we've ever seen. Because it's in every city, every major city. And it's always been a problem.
How do you fight it?
You got to start with, honestly, you got to start at the source. Where a lot of these people getting the opiates from? A lot of them get them from doctors.
Not anymore.
Well, but you know, once you're at a point where it's like a lot of people too far gone.
I agree with you, Heidi.
Okay, Heidi, you say that right now, but if your son or daughter is stuck in this, it's not easy. Look,
you would beat your son or daughter until they stop.
I know.
It's not that easy. That's how I learned.
First of all, you got a parent, and if you're not going to parent. Then no, survival of the fittest. And there
you
is
would
a
tell
point
me,
in
you
your...
You would tell me you would close your doors on your own kid and say survival of the fittest.
Or enable them?
You have to. You have to stand up and you have to say, you're going to sink or swim. You have to. My parents did it to me. And guess what? I figured out how to freaking swim.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Look, I don't have such a cavalier approach. I know what you're saying. Survival of the fittest, yes, great. But there's a problem. There's a problem, and it's growing. And I'm not advocating for government involvement and let's fight drugs.
People are generally in pain, and they're trying to find a way out of it. And it's due to a sedentary lifestyle.
I believe that there's something else that has led to this.
Hold on, let her finish.
As opposed to just doctors handing it to people. Outside of that, like, it was the whole lawsuit that I've explained like a million times. Like, it's not the doctor's fault. They were doing what they could to not get sued. Because nowadays they could get sued for fucking anything. Yeah. So at some point you got to say, like, you make the choices that you make.
Right.
And you have to live with them. Right. Like, I've made shit decisions in my life. Don't get me wrong. And I live with it. Right. And either you move on or you don't.
Right. Right. And we all have. We've all made those
decisions.
And
I've literally been physically addicted to opioids before. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking shitty to come off of. But you figure it out. Like, there's only so many ways that you can.
Right.
And you're lucky. You know, you're very lucky that you were strong enough to do it. A lot of these people aren't strong enough. You know, I've known a lot of addicts in my life.
So do we need to help them be stronger? Do we need to stop giving them... to Saul's point, needles. Yeah. Do we need to stop giving them a place on the street where they can do this shit?
So they're going to
check every month.
They're going
to
do it.
A check every month. Do we need to start throwing them in jail where it's significantly harder to get these drugs? We're going to pay for it either way. Either we pay for it for the next 20 years with them living on the street.
You're always going to pay for it, Jeremy. That's the problem. Because when
the point is, if you throw them into jail,
you're going to get drugs in rehab. You're going to get drugs.
If you put them into rehab, like we did the thing not too long about Seattle, and was it Rhode Island had a program that was actually working?
Yep.
And the guy was like, this program saved my life. Yeah. We need to put those people in those programs. And either it saves their lives or it kills them.
Yeah. But to his point, you should 100% offer it. But now to your point, well, now that's government intervention. Now it's big government. But
offer what? The program or throwing them in jail?
The program. The program is government intervention.
Right. You throw them all in jail, which I understand,
which is still
costs
government
a fortune,
intervention.
But it doesn't matter because you're either paying for them to be in jail or you're paying for them to be fucking up your city.
Right. Either way, they're still not going to stop doing drugs by being in jail.
Well, they will in jail. They can't. They don't have access to drugs.
Yeah,
in jail.
They do.
Oh
yeah,
my
they
God!
Do.
Stop.
Yeah, they do.
All right, now you see.
Come on, stop. Yes, they
okay.
do.
You well, can get. You
obviously,
can,
that's, get a, that's a failure in the system.
You
right?
can get anything in jail that you want because the guard. Because again, corruption. The guards get paid.
Right.
To turn a blind eye, or they bring it in themselves.
They don't get paid enough.
Yeah, okay. it's
oh, they get paid plenty.
What I'm saying is that
My brother-in-law's one. He gets paid big.
Oh, we
less than a teacher.
We know someone that just retired from it, and she's making great money.
Really?
Oh, she was in California in Folsom Prison. That's a little.
Well, he's in California too. Folsom. He got paid, but not Folsom. You're right.
But anyway, Folsom. I mean, okay. But what I'm saying is, there's so many problems. This is a major problem. It ain't gonna get fixed overnight. There is no right or wrong. There's no right solution because it's again human will. You got to have the will to want to get clean. If I put you in a program and you do it, and as soon as you come off the street, oh, I can't get a job. I've been a felon. Blah blah blah. You go right back to the drugs. A good amount of addicts wind up relapsing for the same reasons because they put themselves in the position and then they get weak minded. Like, oh, you know, I think I could do it. I got control, and they're gone. Yeah. I've known so many addicts. I've lost so many friends. You know, not like in my inner circle, but people that I've been friends with for years. Every other day, I used to get a phone call about somebody back home dying from heroin. It's a problem.
That was a big one, wasn't it? I mean, it seems to like be something that's not real big.
Heroin's an opiate, yeah. Right? So, you know, these kids that I went to high school with started with, they were on Ritalin. But what they used to do was, they used to, you know, yeah. And snort the Ritalin. You know, some of them even took a pill and shoved it up their ass to get it faster. Yeah.
What the fuck?
But they got started with the Ritalin, the Prozacs, with that. And then it just, you know, now I need more. I need more. Yep. You know, I need stronger. But anyway,
see, that's the thing is like prescribed medication. But we're going in circles. Okay. Yeah. So one thing we're going to transition into the next.
Go to the Blaze. Look up the Blaze. Look up Elijah Schaefer. Watch this documentary. Yeah. Open your eyes. Yeah. Just watch it. Yeah. This is what I would tell the viewers, listeners. So, just listen. Give it a shot. Just so that you're educated on what's going on. Because this isn't fake news. This is reality. This is reality. And if you don't think this is reality, then you're too far gone too.
Right. So while there's clear evidence that there's an epidemic going on in cities.
It's happening here too.
There's something... I'm calling this segment "The Left Has Lost Its Mind." So while there's this epidemic, we're going to talk about Portland. Portland, you know what the issue that they're going to tackle this week?
The number one problem that Portland faces.
Yes, you know this one, right?
Oh yeah, of course. I know the stupidity. Yes,
I'm going to tell you what it is. Portland is in the process of wanting to ban urinals, men because they're divisive. I'm not kidding. They're going to spend $195 million to remodel a Portland building, and remove urinals.
So to clarify, as part of the remodel, they are not putting new urinals in, and they're removing the old ones. So when they remodel the bathroom, they're not going to put urinals in.
So yeah, so they're remodeling the whole bathroom, the whole thing. And what they're doing is, with the bathrooms, they are not putting urinals in.
Correct.
They made the decision, so they're not spending $195 million to just take out all the urinals, right? They're redoing the whole building. So they're making more unisex bathrooms to make it more gender neutral and everything else.
Yeah, so that they're adding a certain number of unisex bathrooms on certain floors, and then they're making the men's restrooms basically, they're prepping them for down the road when they decide it doesn't matter what sex you are, so we have to make both bathrooms the same.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Who honestly gives a fuck about this? Because it doesn't affect me. I don't live in Portland. I could give a fuck less what they do with their money. That's their state. That's their city. That's the whole purpose of the United States, is so that each state can do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And obviously they voted for it, so they can do whatever the fuck they want with their money. They fuck themselves over. That's on them.
That's true, Rachel. That's very true. But we can sit here and laugh at them and call them idiots.
Well, who cares? At least you have more places because, to poop. If I went to a bathroom, there's like three urinals. I got a shit. There's somebody in the toilet.
Oh, no. This is so very true. Do you know how many people.
You can't shit in a urinal?
No, I
No, you
they
ever try? It's not. It's not easy.
No,
tried?
I have a story about
that. Oh my god!
Wait, seriously, you have pooped in the urinal?
Not me, but no, I brought Nelson.
I have a story about this.
You guys want to hear the story?
No, no, not him, not him.
You guys, you guys are not ready.
We talked about this. We talked about it on the show once before.
You would never have to worry about pooping in a urinal again.
No, no, he never did. Just listen to me.
I'm gonna tell you the story.
I thought they were for washing feet.
No, listen. No, hold on. Listen to this story.
All right, so this is a true story. It happened to me. This was years ago.
Let's do it quick.
This is a few years ago. It's one of those times where you know when you gotta go, you gotta go. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm driving and I'm like, fuck. I see Safeway and I'm like, this is it. I'm going there. I gotta go. I run into Safeway. I go in. It's one urinal and one toilet. I go, into the toilet, and I'm getting ready, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Somebody walks in. I can't perform well under pressure.
Oh my god!
So I clench up, and so there's somebody. He's in, but when this guy walks in, I'm not kidding to you. He walks in, and he's like, oh my god, and he goes to the door, and he's like, trying to open the door, and I'm like, busy.
Lucky Pato.
I'm panicking. The guy, he just like, oh my god, and he walks out. And I'm like, oh, thank God he left. So then I'm like, I can do this in peace.
Oh, dear Lord.
But, you know, this is really bad. And so he comes in, I'm not kidding me, like maybe 2 minutes later, does the same thing. Oh, tries to open the door. It says, oh my God. I'm like, still busy. I'm still here, goddammit. So,
hold on. I'm just in my mind. I'm picturing Nelson sitting on the shitter, scared, shitless, like
panicking.
Yeah. And in the background, you hear like the Muzak music.
Muzak.
The elevator music.
And he still can't poop. Here's the thing, though.
Let me finish the story. Yeah, let him finish the story.
So obviously, I'm sitting. The urinal is right next to the toilet, and I can see him walking around, pacing the room.
Oh boy.
Now I see him walk to the urinal. He's facing the urinal, and I'm like, okay, what is this guy gonna do? And then I see him turn around. His feet are facing out, towards, and I'm like, no. He pulls his pads down, and when I tell you that I heard
toilet
things that I should not have heard.
Wall.
I heard splatter. I heard an explosion, and I'm like, no, please, God. And so he does this whole thing, and then I hear him go to the paper towels, and it's like, you know, he gets out the paper towels, and then I hear him wiping. And he just throws it in there. And I'm like, I'm hearing all this. It's vivid. It's in my mind. It's there
you can still smell it.
So then I'm watching this. And he flushes it. Like, it's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Okay, I finish.
Wait, urinals flush?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. They flush, but
yeah. It's not like a, it's not, yeah, it's like a little swirl. Like a toilet. It's not like a
toilet. So I get up and I'm like, Should I see what happened? Should I look? I don't want
to
look. I want to look. But curiosity got the best of me.
It's a train wreck scenario, right?
Curiosity. Oh my God. The wall. he blew up on the wall. Like he missed the urinal entirely. But he left the paper there. Ah, my God, dude. I was like, very traumatic. I never in my
Did
life.
Did you tell the Safeway employee? Like, were you like, hey?
No.
No, I ran.
Because you don't want to be the one blamed.
Because they were like, oh, sure, somebody came here and did this. Somebody came. Okay, sure, buddy. Yeah. That's what they would have said.
Some people did something.
Yeah, some people did.
They got Nelson on a camera somewhere. One day he'll show up on
just
a web.
Out.
Yeah. He'll show up on the internet one day. We're looking for this splatterer.
So you'll walk into Safeway and there'll be a sign on the door that says, do not serve this person.
Yes.
So back to the article real quick. So what kind of sparked this was conservative talk show host Lars Larson told KGW about to change. He's outraged, right? Mm-hmm. He says, I think it's ridiculous. First of all, you already know that it makes people uncomfortable. Secondly, it's going to take up a lot more space. And third, anyone who's ever been to a public event, have you seen the line for the ladies' room? Do you see any line for the men's room?
No. Why?
It kind of changes now. But he does bring up a good point. Urinals use less water, which is true. But when you go down the article...
You can put more urinals.
Right. But now when you go down the article, you got to, you know, the building's first, third, and 15 floors will have large multi-stall bathrooms that men and women will use together.
No.
Hold on. Listen. Then other floors will have separate men's and women's bathrooms. So they are going to still have
separate.
They're going to have separate bathrooms, but he goes, every floor will have at least one any gender bathroom. Okay. Right? So, I mean, I get that, you know, it seems like it is being blown out of proportion a little bit. You know what I mean? Because they are still having separate. But now if you're having, you know, if there's an event and they say, well, you can only go to the first floor. Yeah, it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day.
Okay, you've been to a football game.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Okay. In the football game, when there's a break or something at halftime, what do you the
line for both?
Okay, but side by side, a bunch of men up against the wall. How many toys do you think you're going to be able to fit in a bathroom like that? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, yes, I get it. There's good intentions.
Unless you put them right next to each other.
Oh, really?
With no wall barriers.
That's disgusting.
But I'm ready.
This is the prison.
So this is what I was saying yesterday.
You're
going to
be touching laps.
But this is actually, to me, I think, more of a... This is going to be... To me, this is more of a problem, right? Because guys don't squat when they pee, right? And guys don't give a shit, right? If I'm not taking a shit and I'm not touching that lid, if I piss on that seat, I'm not cleaning it up. So now...
What? Yeah. You fucking savage.
It's a fucking public bathroom. I don't give a shit.
Right? Well, this is my problem right
now.
No.
My thing is, if there's piss on the seat already, and I'm not fucking touching that seat.
You don't have to touch it. Use your foot.
I have been in those desperate situations where the only bathroom available was the men's, and I went running in there. I have never been in a clean men's bathroom. They are disgusting.
Yes. So, even using your foot, if I go, I'm going to lift the seat up that has piss on it, already?
You use your foot to lift it up, and then you get paper towel. You get the toilet paper, and then you use your foot to clean it.
It's not going
to
happen.
It's
no.
I'm saying
if I lift up the seat that already has piss on it, I'm not cleaning it.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
That's what I'm saying. So now you're going to go into a bathroom that's going
to
have fucking.
I've had to clean up guy because we have the multi-gender one.
I know
at
I
my
know.
Work because it's just like the one bathroom. You open up the door, there's a toilet. Why does it matter?
So if it's a private bathroom, like at an office or something like that, I'll wipe the seat up. That's common courtesy, right?
So either I clean up somebody else's piss or I sit on it.
I've done that.
Because but in public, there's disease.
The paper towels don't like absorb it, so either I can put paper towels down. Yeah.
See, this is the thing, right? So
it's going to make more of a problem.
Exactly. Because, man, I'm with you, Tim. I'm not going
to
do it. If I'm in a public area and there's only toilets and I have to pee and I miss... I'm not gonna clean. I'm just telling you right now.
You
I'm not gonna
savages.
Clean.
No,
it's
I don't.
Gonna be a force.
You know why? You know what? Because along with you, because the guy before me probably didn't clean it himself, and I'm not gonna go after him and clean. So, but here's the thing, right? There was a thought, and it was a pure good thought. Oh, we should just be inclusive. Blah blah blah. Bullshit.
It's not even that.
But women are the ones who suffer from this because guess what? Now your toilets are gonna be full of men's pees.
And poops.
And you ask for it because you're compassionate.
It was not just
and
us
you're
that
generous
asked for it.
And you want
it was,
this.
It was just. It was not
your,
just
your,
us.
Your
that
toilets
asked for
now
it.
Are gonna be full
but
of piss
also
from men.
That piss on the seat.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Or blow that shit up.
Yes.
So realistically, no matter what, you're dealing with somebody else's piss.
They try to hover. They try to hover.
As much as
miss.
We wish we couldn't.
All right, I got a story about that.
Oh no.
No. Yeah. This years ago, I was working at a. It was kind of a. It's kind of like an engineering group, right? And they had a manufacturing floor. And it was a long walkway to get to the front offices, right? So I'm walking down there, and I see this girl. She's got that quick walk, like, oh, shit, I got to pee, right?
Yeah.
And so she's walking. I see her walking. So she's a little bit in front of me, and I see her walk into the bathroom. And like 2 seconds later, she comes walking right back out, and she saw somebody blew that place up.
Yeah. Yeah. Happens
like,
all the fucking
I'll hold
time.
It.
She's
I'll
like,
it.
I can't do this. Yeah. It stunk. Apparently, it stunk so bad in the. Yeah. It was a dedicated woman's restroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh my God, I can't even pee in there.
Women do shit at work.
Yeah. No,
well, right.
But okay. No, some of the grossest bathrooms I've ever seen were the women.
No,
like, yeah,
no.
Dude, so I.
Whatever.
Okay, so.
It's dicey. It depends on where you're at.
So when I was barbacking at the place I used to run shows at down in Tempe. It was right across the street from Sun Devil Stadium. You can't serve alcohol at Sun Devil Stadium during a normal college game. Mm-hmm. So this was the only first bar from the stadium. So they would have met, you know, I've never seen so many people in this place, right? At the end of the night, The guy's bathroom, yeah, you expect certain things. But this women's bathroom, they're like, you need to go clean. I was like, no. They're like, well, you're a barback. I took my shirt off. I said, yeah, no. I said, I have a real job. I'm not cleaning up somebody else's shit. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
The women's restroom?
Yeah. Used, bloodied, used fucking tampons all over the place, piss all in. The smell that came out of that room, I was like,
You act like women are just taking their tampons out and swinging them around like a lasso.
No, but the smell.
There's blood splatter all over the wall.
They are. There was, yeah. No,
they are.
In one of the urinals, there was some.
The women
smell,
don't have urinals.
The toilets. But the smells that came
that's
out of that bathroom.
Problem number one.
I said urinals. You know what I meant,
that
toilet,
was
all right?
That guy with hemorrhoids that first used a tampon.
First of all, you know I meant toilet, all right?
Stop. We're done.
It was the nastiest smell I've ever smelled. But anyway, speaking of the left and they're off the deep end. So Instagram now is now letting users report images that contain the white power hand sign of okay. So okay now, the okay sign, the little, circle with the three fingers that everybody's been doing for the beginning of time is now considered
racist.
White is now considered racist. And basically right around 2016 is when this whole thing became you're a Nazi. So what happened in 2016?
Trump got elected.
And now it's offensive. And right. Now they're saying anybody that does it is a racist. Yeah. So basically, this is what it says. Report hate speech or symbols. We remove photos of hate speech or symbols like swastikas or white power hand signs.
Which is
but
this.
It's not alluding to just this.
No, it is this.
No, that's the
article.
It is because there are some people who have come out, some conservatives who came out, and they were told their picture was removed because they had
Joe Rogan was going to get
racist. Yeah.
How, okay, so who decides that these things are racist just out of nowhere?
So
and why do we listen to them?
So let me finish reading. So basically, what spurred this, somebody posted this on Twitter saying, Joe Rogan, report Joe Rogan and block him because you find this offensive. And they started explaining the OK sign has been in the middle of a heated debate for a few years. In 2016, a group of enthusiasts on 4chan decided to come up with an idea to troll mass media into thinking that the OK hand gesture is a symbol used by white supremacists. The fact that all these news outlets fell for it is a huge surprise, right?
Is it a surprise?
Well, to literally no one, right?
So this was an effort put forth by 4chan. Basically people who had nothing better 4chan? To do.
Right. Well, it's
they nerds. Troll.
Yeah, they were trolling. Yeah. Basically, the guy that started, Go Storm Area 51, like as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this turned into now.
And now they believe
it. And so now, now these idiots believe it, and the whole world has to change to meet their stupid narrative.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
Yeah. So they actually, so Facebook, they said, has been actively dealing with the threat of the horrific OK sign for some time. It recently banned a user who posted a photo of himself making the gesture for 30 days. I mean, if you could pull up I mean, this guy, it says make frogs. So it says he's wearing a hat that says make frogs great make frogs straight again, and he's just going like this, right? Like basically making fun of Trump.
Yo, let's be honest though, how often have you took a picture like this unless it was like this?
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I intentionally used the okay symbol.
No, like I'll say that to people, like, how you doing?
I'll do like I'm this close to stripping.
Okay. No, but like when people go, but everybody's gone like this.
Hold on.
All
right, I got to mention something because it is very clear. It is very clear that the okay sign was okay for a while. No, I mean I'm not trying to be redundant here, but because why? There are emojis with that symbol.
But there's also a flipping off emoji, and that's offensive.
Yeah, but Instagram's not banning it, neither is Facebook.
Not saying you're white supremacist.
So
they're saying it's hate speech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
get out of here.
Come on.
Yeah, we just
come on.
Just
this
stop
is,
listening to these people.
No, this who, is no, this is the this
who
is the,
elected these idiots to be in charge of us and ruin our lives.
This is not a political thing. This is not a political thing. This is
Instagram. Who hired these idiots at Instagram?
There's only
to
one
ruin
side of the spectrum that's doing this shit and fucking hypersensitive. There's only one side. I'm going to show you another video. Okay, we're going to move from that one because but I want to talk about this one because I don't want to. This is something that fucking pissed me off. All right, now I'm sorry I have to say this, and this is coming from one fat fuck to another, okay? All right. I'm going to say this. No, and I'm saying this because I'm not skinny. But do you think that I'm going to go around blaming white people for being fat?
Blame Obama.
Look who made
McDonald's. This bitch.
Like, I hate when people talk about black women being obese. I hate it. Because it becomes a way to blame us for a set of conditions that we didn't create. We're moving, we're taking care of kids, but our food
quality
suffers.
Who the fuck gave you that burger?
We are living in the Trump era. And look, those policies kill our people. You can't get access to good health care, good insurance. The research says that black women, when we do the same diets as white women, we lose less weight and we lose it slower. Even when we're following the diet than our white women counterpart.
Dieting is racist.
And it's because of Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Dude, this is, okay. This is where I'm telling you that we're going into a realm of fucking lunacy.
It is.
We have lost our goddamn
mind. I would just like to talk about her eyebrows. It was giving me anxiety.
Okay. So.
Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So my thing is, we're all very logical people. Take away the politics. Do you think that if somebody's overweight, it's racist and it's Donald Trump's fault?
No, I mean, there is like a genetic portion to it, but it's not enough to make it like.
How's that racist?
It just depends. Like, there's white people. It's genetic.
What does this have to do with
telling me Trump gave you that fucking cheeseburger?
I would blame the motherfucker that made McDonald's. I'm kidding.
Yeah. But there's other thing, right? There's other reasons why people are obese.
Or psychological issues, or maybe it's like psychological issues that she's dealing with. I don't know. But to blame somebody else for it is.
That's exactly.
You should handle your own. Like, mental illness isn't a. It's not something that you can choose, but at the same time, you have to handle it.
Right.
So, like, if you're mentally addicted to food, then you need to figure out how to handle it. It's not your fault that you are, but it is your fault to try to fix something.
Right.
You know?
So even like the whole McDonald's like teasing about how it's McDonald's fault. So McDonald's. Exactly. Well, okay, so. I'm trying to remember. When's the last time we had McDonald's? So and we drive by them.
Yeah.
How many times? Hey.
Yeah. And all
I love
the time
food,
I smell them.
But I
fucking want it.
But I don't do it.
Yo.
I don't waste the.
I used to make, when I used to be fat, I used to get a quarter pounder and I would put a hot spicy patty inside of it. Have you ever had that before?
Okay.
So it's a hot spicy chicken with
chicken. Okay.
With the burger.
Ooh. Jesus.
Think about what you just said.
No, I don't know. But I used to call it a McDanky.
So think about that statement you just said, Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. It's your words, not mine. When you said, when I used to be fat.
Yeah.
How long ago was that? I'm still not
skinny by any means, but
you know
when I
mean.
Used to be like 200 pounds, that was probably.
Like 15 years ago, close?
Yeah, a teenager.
Yeah, so 15 years ago. I was at.
Well, it's not 15 years ago. Are you kidding me? I'm a 30.
Okay, you're
Fuck
20.
Off.
You're 28. You're 28.
Oh my God.
So
it was
13.
Like 9 years ago. Not even that.
When you were 13? When you were 13?
It was 7 years ago.
When you were 13?
No, I was 200 pounds and I was 19.
Okay.
19, 20.
Oh, that's
so
yeah, that
six,
you did
seven
that.
Years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
But starting at 13, 14, you were,
yeah.
you know, right, you've
yeah.
always, you
even
know.
Even before then, I've always
right.
been thicker.
Right. So Donald Trump wasn't president back then.
Nope.
Obama was.
Well, he was talking about. Wait,
but you can say if you're gonna go and say blame all this stuff. But that's just the. But it just makes no sense. People are the accountability of yourself is going out the window because everybody's allowed to blame somebody else.
Right.
So you know that whole term "pay it forward." It's not pay it forward. It's just blame somebody else. It you get into an accident, you blame. Oh my God! It's my husband's fault I got into a car accident because we got into an argument 3 days
Absolutely.
Ago. What? You're
but
driving.
But it's also innate. Nobody wants to.
Accountability's out the window because nobody gets checked
also,
for
nobody
it.
Nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. That's the whole issue of politics as
right.
it is.
But it's people in general. Nobody's checking people for the accountability. We're seeing it in the way news is being reported, in the way friendships are, the relationships. Like, there's no accountability.
You know what's more sad about when I watch that video? That
people cheering.
That nobody laughed at her. And they'd be like,
because they all feel the same way. Because
they're idiots.
It's super easy to blame somebody else for your shortcoming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you blame Jesus because you're short?
No. Well, I mean, and he has actually more control over that. If I were to play this out, yes. Yeah. But I don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's genetics.
You're the tallest one in your family.
Life happens. Anyways, I'm gonna move on from that subject because this is the segment. The left has lost their mind. Here's another one.
I don't even want to say left anymore. I saw this one.
It dominates one side of the because I guarantee you those people hate Trump.
Yeah, okay? Is this the one with them them all lined up on
So this is they're calling it the Extinction Rebellion. Yes. This is a protest on climate change out in England. Okay,
so did you?
This is in England.
Did you see them all on all fours like dancing together? Is that the same video?
Watch this. And you tell me. If there are any brain cells in these people's...
Well, it's England.
Just a shout out to Paul Joseph Watson.
Excuse me. I'm just kidding, sorry. I look like a bunch of geese.
So...
They did a lot of drugs.
Well, yeah, what is...
No, there's another one where they're all on the ground and they're all, like, moving together.
Go down to the next one. There's another one below that, too.
No, this is...
this one. I watched this one, too. Like, what the... Oh, man. Wait, watch what's in front of it. He's trying to seduce those police officers.
You know those cops just want to shoot him.
He's just trying to get some
heat. It's peeking. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, peeking.
Peacocking. Yeah. Peacocking. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's trying to show off to that cop what he's got.
See, if I was the cop, I would have peacocked right back.
Oh. Okay. So, all I'm going to say...
The left have lost their mind?
No,
exactly. This is people losing their minds, dude.
I don't understand how this is fighting climate change.
It's not. It's burning.
So did you see the one from two weeks ago?
He had a weather rattle.
I know. So, they're praying to the rain gods.
No, did you see the one from 2 weeks ago where like the gay guy started fucking, he did a split and started popping on the floor and they're all throwing all this crap all over him, like glitter and everything, on the street at a climate thing. And then they showed everybody left. Nobody swept up the garbage that they threw. Like they threw all, they just left all the litter on the street. So I'm like, wait a minute.
I don't wish him.
That's climate change.
So,
but you're polluting.
And whenever they have their little gatherings,
they destroy the parks.
You see how dirty they leave it? I mean, I love there's these conservative organizations that go out whenever they have their Green Planet fucking rallies. They go and they film how they leave the area. Dirtier than when they got there, and these are the people who want to clean the planet.
Yeah,
now, again, is this a potpourri of, right,
let's
of
do one
the
more.
Left
let's
has
do one
lost
more.
Its mind? Okay,
and then we'll get into the.
I'm gonna do two more. The left is abusing children, dude. I'm debating which one to show you guys first because both of these are insane. Let me show you this one. Now, this is a 9-year-old child asking candidate for presidency on the Democratic Party.
Wait, tell me at
9-year-old.
A 9-year-old's at the debate or whatever.
She's talking.
Hall.
She got a mic.
Town hall.
And you tell me it's a boy. I think this one is a boy. And you tell me how this is not child abuse, dude.
Yeah, and his mom, Mimi, who's an advocate for transgender youth and active with the human rights campaign. Jacob is an elementary school student from Massachusetts, likes to play hockey. Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. Uh-huh. My question is...
All right,
why are you clapping?
Just let him be.
What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me feel safer in schools? And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't have to worry about anything but my homework?
Oh, I like that question, Jacob.
Okay, so... one was with Elizabeth Warren. I have another one with this Beto O'Rourke. Okay, so
that one's better.
Exactly. It is. Sorry, I thought I had saved that one, but I don't have it. But all I'm going to say about this is, why are kids being sexualized, dude? Why the fuck? Why? You're a 9-year-old kid. You don't know. Dude, this is what I find disturbing
that the left props up children to fit their narrative and to feed this bullshit. Now, could this child feel, I don't know, I don't care. When you're young, you don't know sexuality. Why are they, this kid is going to have issues later on. God forbid he does, right? I hope that he doesn't. But this is a form of child abuse, because I guarantee you these parents are very liberal and they're like, oh yeah, sweetie, you don't know what gender you are.
They said she was. They introduced the mother that way.
So my thing is when you talk to a lot of transgender people, right? They all say, oh yeah, I knew when I was a kid. They knew back when they were a kid that's how they felt. That they, if you, when they wanted to play with dolls and wear women's clothes, when you talk to a lot of them, this is what they say. Whether or not it's real or not, I can't tell you if they're lying to me or not, because that's what they're saying.
I remember growing up, and my parents were military, so we were overseas in Germany. We lived on the economy. They kept us in the community off base.
Right.
And we were one of two American military families off base in the little village. And we got along with kids that were down the street. And the little boy, I was 8, and he was 6 or 7 years old.
You guys were young.
We were young, right? I mean, he never left home without his purse and his lipstick in his purse. And this was not where the parents were. I mean, this was him. This is who he was. His sister was older than him. That was his choice. It was absolute. I mean, I clearly remember. And I even remember one of the parents trying to stop him, and he liked his purse and his lipstick, and it was who he was. So and obviously we have 9-year-olds. Do I think that there are some kids out there that just go that way? Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Fine. Great. Whatever. Be who you are. But when parents are putting it on their kids, mm-hmm. and that is what we're seeing today.
Right, exactly.
More and more.
Okay, so we don't have kids, right? We don't have kids.
No.
But let's say you had a kid, right? Yeah. You had a son, and he goes, Dad, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think I'd rather I want to be a girl. Or like, so, what do you say? Do you say you hate you and everything else?
Or of course not.
Or do you support him to do, you know, to go through it? Or do you force him to not do it?
I would say you're a child, you don't know. Right? Give it some time. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me put it. The reason this is an issue today is because there's a movement of transgenderism in all this. There is this movement. Now, you have issues
with it.
Let me put it this way. When I was growing up, I used to carry a bag, a satchel. It was like a bag. I used to carry my
satchel.
All my electronics. Indiana Jones had one. Right, all my electronics back there. Dude, this is very. When I was in church, I used to carry this bag all the time, and I used to wear a fanny pack. Oh well, back then, you know what I mean. Like, who are the only people who are carrying this? But I liked it because I could have all my shit there. Now, imagine if my mom had told me, "Oh, sweetie, you're a girl because you like purses." The fuck. You see what I'm saying? Like, now you've put that in my mind, and now I grow up not knowing, am I a female? You see what I'm saying? Like, you're damaging a child, and they should not be. They should be learning other things other than their sexuality at that age, because they're so. It's such a vulnerable age that when you start putting this bullshit, you could damage that child, and that's why there's going to be an epidemic of people who have identity crisis. Because of this movement that where people are like, oh, well, I want my child to be transgendered and I want my child. And we're playing this dangerous game.
Why would you want your child to be transgendered?
To fit a narrative. To be
more progressive.
Yep, exactly.
I don't think people would put their own wants to fit an agenda above the health.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Look, I don't think.
I'll tell you that. Okay, well, let me I'll tell you why. Because the same people who said are the same people who complain when parents are teaching or bringing their child up in a very religious status. Why would you do this to a child? Give them the fear of God and tell them about hell.
Well, why can't they teach them about evolution then?
What I'm saying is that's the thing. It's like, do we give the parents the authority to inculcate certain ideologies that they have, or do we not? Now, I say we can. But I'm gonna call that as child abuse, because you're damaging that child later on in life.
They can tell and turn around and say exactly what you said.
if you do too much religion, you put in the fear of God, and they could say that's child abuse. So
I'm with you.
This is the new movement. This is the young, new. This young, is the
so
new
that's why
religious
I call
movement.
It's a religion. It's,
young
it's
kids,
a religion.
Young kids, the girls, prime example, 9 years old, right? They are learning their sexuality. They are learning their individuality. The girls come home. They decide they don't want to be called princess anymore because they're tomboys, and you're criticizing, you're insulting them by calling them princesses. Mm-hmm. Because that, to them, now they've got to be extra girly and they can't be whatever.
I guarantee you, Heidi, there's an influence
in
from
finish.
The school.
Let her finish her story about her kids, right?
So, of course, they're learning that from somewhere and then they're coming home with these feelings. And I said, so why do you feel like this? Why do you think that it's not okay to be this way or that way or whatever the case would be? I'm not telling them it's right or wrong. I'm not trying to inflict, well, you're a girl, you have to be a girl, you have to be pink, you have to be, no, bullshit. It's the way that the parents are reacting to whatever it is that they're picking up and they're learning from at school and from their friends and from the teacher that says, no, you're a girl, you have to have a pink straw. And Laura was pissed. She doesn't want a pink straw. She wants a blue straw. Does that make her a boy now? Does that make her transgender? No. Fuck no. It just means that she likes the color blue over the color pink or purple right now. In this moment in time.
So that's what I'm saying. Right then and there. I mean, and again, when it comes to children, to be honest with you, I can give an opinion, but I will never know because I'm never going to be in that have to think about that because I don't have kids. So to sit there as a parent and
you were a kid at some point.
No, but to sit there and look at a parent and their kid goes, I want to be a girl and you're a boy. And I can only imagine. For a lot of parents, when they look and they're just like,
let's think this through. Tim. Okay, let me lay
out your thoughts and try to persuade me as
a 9 year old. Okay, you say I like the color pink. A boy likes the color pink, and because society's norms have said pink is a girl color, now the mom's like, oh well, then you must be a girl. Let me just finish my thought. Okay. This is what I feel is happening, okay? Now they label this child as a transgendered child, and that child does not know the implications of what he's saying because there's a sexual connotation to that. I feel like there's this movement to try to prove something that gender is fluid, okay? I think this is the underlying current that is now taking up speed. And what the efforts are is to remove the norm, what has been for a long time. Now, I don't know if this is going to play out and be very dangerous for the human civilization. I don't know. Okay, I'm on the side of saying we got to be very careful, right? Because there are statistics that are showing out there that there are people who have identity crisis and are prone to have mental problems and try to commit suicide. Now, I don't know if this is causing into this, I don't know. But it's dangerous for us to just be like, oh, well, whatever
but
goes.
I don't stand on that side. You have to remember. Wait, there's three. So just in this country, I'm not worried about the world. Yeah. Right here, we have 350 million people in the United States, right? Maybe 400 with undocumented, right? But about 350, right? If 2 million of those people are going through identity, that's not going to hurt civilization.
Just drop in the water.
That is a small percentage, but we use that as this is everybody's doing it. Everybody's going to be no. I mean, everybody thought even when the gay movement started, right, and people were coming out, everyone's going to be gay. No, like it's still for a select group of people. There more people that are gay know they're gay. People that are straight know they're straight. Now you have something that's even of a smaller percentage of. The LGBTQ community, you know, it's not as big as what everybody thinks.
And they're making
it because you see a child on there, it's easy to get. They know how to get you going just the same way.
Trump knows how to get them going.
Right, he tweets one thing, they put a fucking kid saying they're transgender and you go on your spiel.
So let me ask you.
Same shit.
So if you, growing up as a boy, were told by your parents that you are a girl, do you think that would damage you? Would have damaged you in the long run?
Yeah, but parents did that. If you cried, hey, why are you being a little girl?
No, I'm asking you a question. I'm not asking you.
I'm being dead serious.
Okay, so that's what I'm telling you. Well, it's dangerous when we go into this territory Because the because
not,
we're trying to prove a
dangerous.
Point.
It's
not dangerous.
So,
I think it is.
Look,
it's okay that you think it is.
Yeah.
Not every.
Go ahead.
Look,
sorry.
When I was a fucking kid, I was sexually abused. And the way that I coped with it was trying to turn myself into a boy. I cut my hair. I tried to dress like a boy so that I would be treated the same as the boy that was abusing me. Mm-hmm. And my parents, in turn, just assumed I was a lesbian. And they just thought I was going to end up being a lesbian. And they would talk about it. They would talk shit about me all the time. And obviously, I'm not a lesbian. I just didn't want to get fucking sexually molested. And it didn't, them saying that I was a lesbian didn't affect me either way. I was still smart enough in my own rights to know what the fuck I wanted and what I didn't want. I just didn't want to be fucking abused. And that was the only way that I knew how to hide it, was to pretend like I was a boy and say that I was a boy so that they would leave me the fuck alone. And yeah, you're that, saying that, that just like if my parents say, oh, you're a lesbian, you're going to end up being a lesbian. Whatever.
I think, look, that, that's didn't. A tragic situation that I'm not going to comment on. But I, like I said, I think that there's consequences to raising kids with a gender dysphoria, or, you know, with not knowing, telling the kid you're something that you're not. OK, maybe you are the exception to the rule. But I think that,
I think
that
people are going
to be there
the
are certain
person
things.
That they wanna be.
Yeah.
Look, we influence our kids. Do we not? Kids are influenced by parents to a certain extent. Right. And I feel like this is something where, you know, we're being very cavalier on. You guys could be absolutely right. I hope that you guys are right, but I don't know. And I feel like we're heading down this path.
We're in a different. So when I, yes, we are. What I'm going to say is the path that we have, like when you said, parents are the most influential on their kids. Not anymore. Because back in the day, you had a bubble, right? You had this bubble. You know, it was home, school, and maybe church or whatever, sports. But now with internet and you're connected to the whole world, and you can find people that feel the same way as you, and you can have conversations, and you start realizing, I'm not alone. Before, you felt alone. You couldn't even talk to nobody about it because you got held down. So if your parents are saying you're fucking, you know, you're weird and you're going to hell, but you go find somebody on, you know, people on the internet that you can relate to and talk to, and they're saying, hey, we got your back. You know, we could be your family. You know, you can go find whatever you want and feel you can fit in. Everybody can coexist. It's just, it's the political stuff that, you know, when you start throwing it all over the place, and now everybody's got to, if you don't like it, you're being forced to accept it. That's where I think people are having a problem, right? You want to be trans? Go ahead. But when you're saying, oh, every bathroom's got to get changed, everything, you know, when you're starting to impact everybody's life to try to make it good for, you know, so that this select group of people feel more comfortable. I mean, you're not being inclusive to the straight people, you know, or even gay people don't like, a lot of gay people don't like trannies. Seriously,
You're bringing up the Dave Chappelle. You know, all right, so okay,
but that's where I'm going.
I think
we all laid our
thoughts, and I think we're clear on where we all stand. I want to cover one more thing, and then we'll close off this topic. Did you guys see this video?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. This is interesting.
Before I ask my question, to validate the pain of our transgender siblings that demonstrated earlier and that have spoken up today, especially Black trans women.
You, but let me tell you something. Black trans women are being killed in this country, and CNN, you have erased Black trans women for the last time. Let me tell you something. Black trans women are dying. Our lives matter. I am an extraordinary Black trans woman, and I deserve to be here. My Black trans sisters that are here, I am tired. I am so tired. I'm just sitting there, and it's not just my Black trans women.
Ma'am.
It's my Black trans brothers, too. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Come here. No, I just want to ask you something. Come here. Tell me. Saying. Come here. I want you to talk. What's your name?
I'm Blossom C. Bryant.
Blossom, let me ask
you. Google me.
Google me.
So, I mean, she's got valid points.
I didn't hear anything valid, everything she said.
No, I mean, the fact that, yes, it's not.
Wait.
Every day.
What was her point?
What was her point, Tim? Exactly. What was her point?
She came out and said they're getting killed.
By who?
By who?
Every day I see articles, you know, from my trans friends. Oh, another one got killed today.
I've never
by
seen
who?
This. Who's killing them?
People?
Street gangs?
Who? MAGA hat wearing people?
No.
Other blacks?
Yeah, who's killing
them? You see
what
I'm saying? Like, people
they're dying. And that's what they're saying is that regardless of if you're...
Look, well, it's more likely they're killing themselves than they're being killed by other people.
Or there's more likely that they're committing suicide because they're having a dysphoria in their gender. They don't know what they are.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't just go on TV and make these grand proclamations that we're being killed by people. Look, that's bullshit.
These are uncomfortable topics.
It's not even that it's uncomfortable. We just talked about it, so we're going to go back into talking about the same thing. We got different opinions on this.
Right.
So that all you got to do is we do our research. We understand what both sides are, you know? And you have your opinion. I got mine. He's got his. She's got hers.
For me, when I hear stuff like this, it's emotional diarrhea. It is. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Therefore, I'm going to grab the microphone and make a cringe statement. Google me. You know,
she went into business for herself. Okay, there.
This is what I'm telling you. But we praise this and people clap at this, and it's like, no, stop. This is you're not living in a reality. Maybe it happened to 2, 3, 4 people, but it's not a pandemic. It's not an epidemic.
Yeah,
you know, the fact that Beto O'Dork looks at this woman and is like, the profundities that this woman spoke. It's like, no, stop. This is lunacy. We've gone off the fucking rails. All right. Was there anything else?
Yeah. Rachel. Time for the Crazy Ray Chronicles.
You know, dun, dun,
we've been waiting all day for this.
I do have just to have now. I have to have a little sound for that segment. I do. I'm going to make one.
I got a special spooky one this week for Halloween.
Yeah.
So they're all like kind of Halloween themes.
Good.
Because I'm kind of excited. It's perfect. October. Right. I'm stoked.
And on a lighter note,
This is your favorite time of year.
Yeah. Yes.
I knew it. Okay, yes.
Look at the smile. She's been doodling all night, kind of like, nah. All of a sudden, Halloween comes up. She's excited.
I know.
Look at that smile.
Alrighty. So first, I'm going to start with, and this has been something that's been in the news for a while, but I just still find it interesting. Officials warn hunters about zombie deer.
What? Zombie deer?
Yeah. Have you guys not heard about this? No. Chronic wasting syndrome going on with deer.
Chronic wasting syndrome?
Chronic wasting disease. Sorry.
Disease.
It's basically the symptoms of chronic wasting disease reduce infected animals into zombie-like creatures. They'll stumble, drool, they'll have drastic weight loss. They can become more aggressive and less afraid of humans.
Isn't that rabies?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah,
kind of, it's something different.
All right, a little bit different than rabies.
It's thought to be spread through direct contact with bodily fluids or by drinking contaminated water. It's in, I believe, 27 states currently. 24 states where the deer are sickened by, it's a neurodegenerative disease. So it is kind of similar to rabies, but without like the foaming.
Is there any video of this?
I'm sure there is, to be honest with you.
Nelson wants to see it.
But now, like, whenever, like, people go hunting, they have to, like, basically have their deers checked for it. Right now, like, Nevada's, like,
before
one
they eat
where
them,
it's, like,
they have to get them checked?
Yeah, before they can... Because otherwise, they have to, like, basically, like, incinerate them because it's, like, it's through the bodily fluids of it.
Is it transferable?
Yeah.
To the humans?
Not to humans, I don't think. Well, chronic wasting disease can incubate for more than a year before animals present symptoms. So the CDC recommends hunters test meat before consuming it to avoid eating the meat-infected venison. Wearing proper equipment while field-dressing deer carcasses and minimizing time spent handling their brain and spinal tissue where the disease originates. So I guess people can't get infected with it. There's a low risk of transmission to humans, but it can happen.
You see the zombie apocalypse.
The species barrier may not be fully protecting them from contracting the disease.
It's gonna be the Will Smith movie. What was it?
I Am Legend.
Shit. Oh, I was right.
I've seen this.
Yeah, so they literally have like they're all fucked up.
Wait.
Well, my dog does that all the time.
Oh, look, it's skinny.
What was that first one?
It so had, some like, aren't as possessed. Bad as others. But they're like straight fearless of people and they're super aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh. So he's just going in circles.
Yeah.
Possessed. It's almost like he's got rabies.
See, basically, it looks like he's really drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. Fucked up.
Wow. All right.
So that could be where the new zombie apocalypse forms.
Hey, it's always an animal.
Beware of deer.
Spread the deer.
Medicine, good.
Santa's bringing.
Rare two-headed snake named Double Dave rescued from certain doom in New Jersey.
What was going to happen to him?
Well, I guess so. Like, just it was nothing like super crazy. It's just that two-headed animals never end up living in the wild due to two reasons. Because either their left or right head can't decide which one's going to eat versus the other, so then they kind of end up like starving each other, or they just become more susceptible to getting eaten by other animals. It's been pretty common that they've been finding them, but this one they're keeping the research to figure out exactly where it goes into like one person or one snake. I guess they found a dead viper in Virginia that had two heads, which I didn't realize vipers were in Virginia.
You know, you'd be surprised where these, like, I didn't know there was rattlesnakes in Delaware, like the Delaware Water
Seriously?
Gap.
Seriously?
Yeah. That, like one of the most black diamond, I think it's black diamond rattlesnake.
Dang.
Yeah.
But the one in the, or at least the viper had two, like, which I also didn't realize the plural of it, esophagi that went into one stomach. So then it kind of worked out okay for him.
Wow.
But there's also one where there was a two-headed deer that was found dead. Hmm. Another deer. There was a two-headed porpoise that was hauled up. And I guess bicephalic animals have even crossed the frontier into space. I guess last year, a flatworm, which is a species of worm that can regrow into completely different individuals after being cut into pieces.
Right.
It grew a second head on its butt while riding aboard the International Space Station.
That's an interesting place to be.
It grew a head on its butt.
You got your head up your ass. I really do got my head up my ass.
No, that would suck. Oh, no.
You smell your own shit.
Yeah.
Imagine what is this called where people have that, like there's two people. What is that called?
Bipolar?
Schizophrenia.
No.
Split personality?
No, when they actually have Siamese twins.
Oh, okay.
So imagine having a Siamese twins who's like back there, he pisses you up. That's enough, Carl. No, not again. I'm sorry.
Fucked up.
It's terrible.
It's like human centipede, but nature.
No. Did you guys ever watch that movie?
No.
I watched both. The second one was worse than the first.
It's bad.
No.
Did you watch this movie, Jeremy?
I saw the first one.
Oh my God.
So you know what's fucked up?
I'm trying to remember if I watched the whole thing or just most of it, but it was.
So I was watching that movie with like three of my friends. One of my friends was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go make a snack," like before it started. Halfway through this movie, me and my other friend are just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? My friend comes out from the kitchen. She made deviled eggs. And I was like, this is the worst thing humanly possible to try to eat while watching this. Outside of just trying to eat in general while watching it. It's not great. So this last one is like my favorite.
Drum roll, please.
All right. Legally haunted New York mansion is for sale for $1.9 million.
Where?
Wow.
So it's in New York.
Where in New York?
Nyack.
Oh, that's upstate.
Does that make sense? Nyack?
It's on New York.
All right. So
Nyack might be.
I'm going to say this story. A mansion in Nyack, New York is known to be legally haunted because of the notorious Ghostbusters ruling, which is a thing. It literally went to court. There's no shortage of haunted houses for sale, blah, 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 blah. The house was built in 1890 and was quite unremarkable until a woman named Helen Ackley moved in with her family in the 1960s. Tales of the ghost Revolutionary War started to emerge early. Ackley said her grandchildren would receive mysterious gifts such as rings that would appear and vanish on their own accord.
What?
She also claimed that her mother, Cynthia, would be woken up constantly every morning by an invisible force shaking her bed. The family lived there until 1989, but their new owners did not take kindly to the fact that they had not been previously told of the house's haunted status. When the case was brought to court, because they sued them over it, because they were like, we bought a fucking haunted house and we didn't know this. Then they were like, when the case was brought to court, it was decided that because the Ackley's family had widely advertised the claim of that building being haunted, it should be considered as such legally. The case has been widely taught in the U.S. law school courses known as the Ghostbusters ruling. As for the house itself, it's for sale for the pricey sum of $1.9 million.
Mm. You know, someone would buy it too.
Oh, God, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Especially
one that's technically legally haunted.
Yeah. Wait, but did anybody die at the house?
So it doesn't say. It just has to do with the Revolutionary War, like something with that.
Because I know that there's laws, right? If somebody
dies, yeah. and then you're gonna buy that.
Somebody yeah, but that's to, only for like a certain number of years, I think. Well, I guess it would depend on the state. Yeah,
yeah. So like in certain states, like you have to disclose if it's haunted or not. In right. certain states, you have to disclose that like somebody well, died there.
But then again,
but
how
lived
do you?
In it from 1960 to 1989, they were way past yeah. having to disclose that.
You would think. Well, no, because the people lived there, and then the people that bought it in 1989 were the ones that sued the people
right,
that lived
that's
there.
Insane. Yeah. Like they were asking, well, don't you have to disclose that? Well, yeah, within so many years, but they bought it in 1960, sold it in 1989. It would have surpassed that 3 to 5 or
oh no, that, whatever those were the people that originally rules. Said right, that right. it was haunted, though. So it's not yeah. the people that it sold it to,
right?
Yeah, the people that it sold it to, they sued them within like a year, I think.
Yeah, but
why did they sue? Did they start experiencing weird shit? Yeah. No way. I don't know.
So you know that, that's awesome. You hear stories. I've heard other stories. Similar to this, where people have bought these houses and they get them for dirt cheap because there's right. something weird happening there, right? But those are the kind of houses you want to buy. Could you imagine Airbnb-ing that? There
oh,
are
God,
freaks
yeah.
out there that would be all
that. It'd be
over
genius.
Well, think about think Tracy so? Morgan. He had that... Wait, was it Tracy Morgan that had that show like Scare Tactic where he goes into those haunted...
Yes.
They go into that those haunted yes. houses and stuff like that. Yes. And they go in and he narrates it or something like that. It's like the funniest stuff in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, just think about it. You get the houses for dirt cheap. You throw them up on Airbnb as haunted houses. Mm-hmm. You would have, the thing would be booked for the next 5 years.
Probably only for October.
No. There are people that are into it all the time.
It's like how Nicolas Cage owns that super haunted house in New Orleans.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like he bought like a plantation that's like super notoriously haunted.
Yeah.
Just but for he that? Doesn't rent it out. No, he just lives there.
Just imagine. What? You yeah. could pay. What seriously, you buy people. These houses dirt cheap. You could set like a tour up, right? You spend 1 week here and we move you, you know, and next month we move you to a different house. And next month you do a different house.
But also, if you set like little traps to like kind of make noises to scare people, would that be like.
Well, it's like the insane asylum up in Jerome. They do that there. They do some stupid.
I never
over there.
Saw anything weird there.
Dude, no. So
and I even went on
what
the
they do is,
there.
You know, like all those people where they have all those little bodies like that just placed all over in rocking chairs and whatnot. Like yeah. if they see you go into certain rooms, like literally there was one like outside the bathroom. But then when I came back, it was like right at the door. I was like, oh, shit. Like they move. It.
I don't know.
Like,
I've never had that happen to me. And I've been there multiple times.
No, I like they move. And I'm like, that's weird. But obviously somebody moved it. Right.
That was
all right. Wow. I think that that's it. Much. I think that's the cue, guys.
That's it.
All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Catch us on the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. We'll catch you guys next time.
All righty. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.